Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 71. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tathabhishikta Prayatas. Tamaposha vibarbarim samahita payachara risha deshena purusham. Elsewhere, Dhruva Maharaj, having arrived at Madhuvan, took his bath in the river Jamuna and observed fasting in the night with great care and attention. After that, as advised by the great sage Narada, he engaged himself in worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The significance of this particular verse is that Dhruva Maharaj acted exactly according to the advice of his spiritual master, the great sage Narada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also advises that if we want to be successful in our attempt to go back to Godhead, we must very seriously act according to the instruction of the spiritual master. That is the way of perfection. There need be no anxiety over attaining perfection, because if one follows the instruction given by the spiritual master, he is sure to attain perfection. Our only concern should be how to execute the order of the spiritual master. Spiritual master is expert in giving instructions to each of his disciples. And if the disciple executes the order of the spiritual master, that is the way of his perfection. Om Jnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamayam dadati sa padantikam Vansha kopa tarubhyascha Vipasindu bhayevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. The movie is playing here in Hudson. Hudson is 15 minutes from us. It's a very cool city. The movie means the Hare Krishna movie. It's only about 7,000 people. But they have kind of an old warehouse, some cool people, and there's kind of a smaller theater of about 30 seats and a bigger one with 80 seats. And they have place in front, if it gets crowded, people could sit. But when again, it was my third time yesterday, and the theater was full, and it wasn't just devotees. In fact, one guy I know who kind of comes to our retreats, a policeman from New York City, he was sitting behind me. He came up just especially to see the show. And I'm getting more and more the idea. It's the second coming of Prabhupada. People are getting a chance to directly, associate with Prabhupada. Such a powerful medium. Hear his words. See his story. And present it as we understand it. It's just a very, very powerful thing. can imagine this is going all around the country, and it's almost like Prabhupada traveling from city to city. Again, as he did before, preaching Krishna consciousness and causing a revolution. And each time, you know, I can enjoy it. I can watch it again and again. It's like chanting. I don't get become bored of chanting because it's love. Not just the activity, it's love. And you never become bored of love. So I kind of really, really enjoyed it. I may even go today again. There's different groups of people. Like yesterday, there was just a lot of old ex-hippies, kind of, you know, who were just relishing. Like I was watching the audience, just relishing. I mean, ex-hippie, but, you know, kind of people that were in the 60s and just relishing and getting a kind of an understanding of why the book distribution and why what Prabhupada did and you know, and the mistakes, you know, how they were young. And it's just a great story. I advise everybody to watch it as many times as they come. And there's little Harinam before the program. So it's really great. Anyway, we're in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. There's several stories in the Bhagavatam of young people who are determined. Young people who are determined to, just determined in Krishna consciousness. And bhakti, sarvatra sarvada, the fourth verse of the chapter shloki, the four verses of the Bhagavatam, that one should search after this, and that's prema. Prema. Sandrandanava sheshatma, where that the consciousness is drenched. The highest love, the love for God. One should search after that. Sarvatra sarvada. Anywhere and everywhere. It's universally applicable. There is no material qualification for it. Even species of life. A dog can't practice yoga. A dog can't practice karma. A dog can't practice gyan. But a dog can do bhakti. If the dog takes prasadam or follows the kirtan party, there are stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita with Shivananda Sena, how a dog just joined the party and took shelter. The dog took shelter of a Vaishnav. And that's bhakti. Because you take shelter of a Vaishnava, then their heart will love you. And you'll get their mercy. Bhakti is the path of grace. You'll get their mercy. So, even the young boy who had the maturity, not the maturity in terms of like you're very old and wise, but maturity had the developmental age that he could be insulted. and that invokes some desire to have a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. And his mother is seeing that his situation was hopeless, invites him just to worship God. Tivrena, yak bhakti yogena. Tivrena, forceful bhakti. Take shelter of God. Bhakti is therefore very, very simple. Because anyone can do it. You just have to follow God's will, which will be manifest to you if you are humble. You can have God's will. The only thing that prevents us from God's will is the misconception that I can be happy independent of God's will. which is as impossible as a fish being happy out of water or a hand being useful detached from the body. We are constitutionally parts and parcels of the supreme absolute reality. It's a position. God is a, but ultimate reality is a position that's reserved for one. And it's not us. And why should that be such an existential crisis for us? And being part of the one is as great as being the one in terms of the standard of happiness and pleasure. That can be shared equally. Position can't be shared equally with God. Love can be shared equally with God. And all you have to do is seek His will and surrender, and we can do that now. Right now we can do it. But the problem is we have attachments that are pushing for another agenda that are that is against our nature and therefore against our interests. When you go against your nature, you go against your interest, because what suffering is going against nature. Suffering is the reaction to a crime against nature. If you go against nature, you're suffering. So what are we? We are parts of God, and we are meant for God's service. And when we do that, then we are in harmony. And harmony means happiness. Anyway, Dhruva sought this position. He was advised to worship God. Now he's going to begin the process. He walked 350 miles. And having arrived, he took his bath and observed fasting. That is the general advice when you arrive in the holy place, not to eat that day. It purifies our consciousness. Bathing purifies our consciousness, because our consciousness, usually when we're out of the Dham, and I can say this for myself, you know, being in a world that moves against the will of God, not the world, but the imposition of the world by the people here. Prabhupada would quote the British poet Cooper that the country is made by God, the city is made by man. So it does not move against God. We move against God, and therefore we cover God. And being in that world, it has an effect. And then when you're coming to the Dham, the world is the opposite. The world is moving forcefully towards the service of God. And you have to be in tune. You have to go with the flow of that current. And you have to go with the flow of that current forcefully. So just to become even keeled, fasting and taking a bath. And here, you know, Prabhupada said that his purports are his personal ecstasy, and one of Prabhupada's personal ecstasies is faith in Guru and his promotion and expression of that, which actually is the essence of the Vedic literatures. the essence of the Vedic literatures, all the Vedic literatures, is surrender to Guru and Krishna. That's where it's all aimed. That is God's will for everyone. That is how, why the material world functions the way it does. To bring us to that understanding that that is our business, that that is our benefit, that is our interest. But the te vidu swartha hitim, the te vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. We don't realize the te vidu swartha gatim, that our interest is the goal of going towards God and developing our eternal relationship with God. That should be our objective. That is real happiness. And unfortunately and sadly, we have so many samskaras, clusters of impressions or attachments for not God. So it begins here, the success here begins with the instruction of the spiritual master, who is representing God's will, and surrendering to that is liberation and perfection. You can act on the liberated platform by surrendering fully to the Supreme Lord, as manifest through the Shastras and represented by the Guru. Prabhupada said liberation means just once embracing, from this day I am yours. And it's Prabhupada's personal ecstasy, and he's quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because he himself credited his success to this understanding that if you want to come to resolute devotional service, yasya deve prabhaktir tata deve tata guru, one who has implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of the Vedas are revealed. All the Vedas of the import, all the imports of the Vedas are revealed. That's another verse, right? No, wait, Vulisayatmika Ekeha Kurnandana Bahushakayanata, that we should be resolute in devotional service. I scored another verse. Resolute, fixed in that will. And that is love. When you are fixed in the, and move according to the desire of another who is worthy of your affection, that is love. And when you are totally captured by that and moved by that, and let God's internal potency dance in your heart and move you in that direction, that's the highest consciousness. Rasa vai saha. So he follows. Tvilatrante tarantante kapita badarashana Atma-vritya-nusarena masam ninyar-chayam-harim. For the first month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only fruits and berries on every third day, only to keep his body and soul together, and this way he progressed in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So important to control the tongue. and how we eat. Because it so much affects our consciousness. Purport, Kapita is a flower which is known in Indian vernacular as Kayeta. We do not find an English equivalent for the name of this flower, but its fruit is generally not accepted by human beings. It is eaten by monkeys in the forest. Dhruva Maharaj accepted such fruits not for luxurious feasting, but just to keep his body and soul together. The body needs food, but a devotee should not accept foodstuff to satisfy the tongue in sense gratification. It is recommended in Bhagavad Gita that one should accept as much food as necessary to keep the body fit, but one should not eat for luxury. Dhruva Maharaj is an acharya, and by undergoing severe austerities and penances, he teaches how one should execute devotional service. We must carefully know the process of devotional service, of the process of Dhruva Maharaj's service. How severely he passed his days will show in later verses. This is such an example. You have to be determined. We may not execute the austerity of Dhruva Maharaj, but what our practices and responsibilities are, what has been prescribed for us, and what we are spontaneously attracted to in goodness, we should follow. What is austerity? Austerity means, despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, we do what's right. First, we have to know what's right, and then we have to do what's right. Therefore, Tatshradayana Muniyo, Jnana Vairagya Yuktiya, the seriously inquisitive sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment. I make this point many times. If you don't have knowledge, you won't know what to do. And if you don't have self-discipline, you won't be able to do it. So this is required. This is required. Tapo divyam yena kaputra satvam shudye yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. Tapo divyam yena kaputra satvam. That tapo divyam, that austerity, this type of austerity is divine. Shudyad brahma sokyam tvanantam. And it will give you unlimited happiness. We should always remember that to become a bona fide devotee of the Lord is not an easy task. But in this age, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it has been easy. Made very easy. But if we do not follow even the liberal instructions of Lord Chaitanya, how can we expect to discharge our regular duties in devotional service? So Prabhupada said that a Vaishnav is better than a Goswami. A devotee is better than, you know, a Goswami, very, you know, a materially very high and renowned person. Or someone, you know, worshipping the deities in a very high family. A Vaishnav is better than a Goswami. But if you are not following, you are not still better than a Goswami. What you have to follow is relatively simple. We still have to do it. It is not possible in this age to follow Dhruva Maharaj's in his austerity. But the principles must be followed. One should not disregard the regular principles given by our spiritual master, for they make it easier for the conditioned soul. As far as our ISKCON movement is concerned, we simply ask that one observe the four prohibitive rules, chant 16 rounds, and instead of indulging in luxurious eating for the tongue, simply accept prasad offered to the Lord. This does not mean that with our fasting, the Lord should also fast. The Lord should be given foodstuffs, which is as nice as possible, but we should not make it a point to satisfy our tongue. As far as possible, we should accept simple foodstuff just to keep the body and soul together to execute devotional service. It is our duty to remember always that in comparison to Dhruva Maharaj, we are insignificant. We cannot do anything like what Dhruva Maharaj did for self-realization because we are absolutely incompetent to execute such service. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we've been given all concessions possible for this age. So at least we should always remember that neglect of our prescribed duties in devotional service will not make us successful in the mission we have undertaken. It is our duty to follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, for he was very determined. We should also be determined to finish our duties in executing devotional service in this life. We should not wait for another life to finish our job. So the example of Dhruva Maharaj is not what he did, but what he did with sincerity and determination. Each person has different responsibilities, grihastha sannyasi, you know, manager, teacher, whatever your duties are. And duties mean what God wants us to do, which is dictated in part by who we are. And that's the beauty of the bhakti path. If you are humble, which means to accept the authority of something greater than your own, then we become very, very qualified. Whatever it is. Aho patat swapta chito guriyan yajiva agre vartate nama tubhyam. How wonderful it is that if one is just one name, purely coming from the tongue, pure name, not just the name, the pure name, means chanted from the heart with love and devotion. It's just one, then you're perfect. Text 80-73. Dvatiyam cha tatamasam shashte shashter lakodane jina purnadibi shirnai Tritano Bhyachayam Vibhum. In the second month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only every 6 days. And for his eatables, he took dry grass and leaves, thus he continued his worship. Remember, he was asked to chant a mantra and to worship the form of the Lord. Tatiyam Chanayam Masam Navame, Navame, Hini, Apaksha, Uttamashlokam, Upadhavat, Samadina. In the third month, he drank water only every 9 days. Thus, he remained completely in trance and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by selected verses. Chaturtam, Apivaimasam, Padashe, Padashe, Hani, Vayu Baksho, Jitasvaso, Dayam Devam, Adharaya. In the fourth month, Dhruva Maharaj became a complete master of the breathing exercise, and thus he inhaled only every 12th day. In this way, he became completely fixed in his position and worshiped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As mentioned before, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu learned Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit at Tota Gopinath every day, this was one of two of his favorite stories, which he heard again and again to inspire him in his determination of his own practices in devotional service. The tenth offense of the Holy Name is do not to maintain material attachment despite hearing so many instructions on the matter. And I understand that to mean that not giving up all material attachment, because God does not require us to do that, but to give up those things that are beyond our needs, and to be determined to do that. Panchame masinu prapte chitta swaso nirpatmaja dayam vama padaikena tastavstanor avachala. In the fifth month, Jup Maharaj, the son of the king, had controlled his breathing so perfectly that he was able to stand only on one leg, just as a column stands without motion, and concentrate his mind fully on Parabrahman. Savrato mana akritya. Vidibhutendriyashayam Yayam Bhagavato Rupam Nadrakshit Kinchenaparam. He completely controlled his senses and their objects, and in this way he fixed his mind without diversion to anything else upon the form of this, without diversion to anything else upon the form of the Supreme Personality of God in purport. The yogic principles of meditation are clearly explained here. One has to fix one's mind upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without diversion to any other objective. It is not that one can meditate or concentrate on an impersonal objective. Do so is simply a waste of time, for it is unnecessarily troublesome, as mentioned in the Gita. So he was so, this is like a real samadhi. When you're in samadhi, your meditation is just so deep that you're not cognizant of anything else outside your meditation. And we know, in the highest conception of Radha and Krishna's love, they forget their own identities because they're so absorbed in thinking of one another. So this is samadhi. The absorption is so thick, you're not cognizant of anything else. And Dhruva Maharaj was so deeply meditated, was so deeply meditating that he was completely unaware of all externalities. He was even unaware of his name, his age, his family, identity as king. So he was just completely absorbed. So he's achieving a perfection here. Adaramaradinam Pradana Purusheshwaram Brahmadara Yamanasya Sayolokas Shakampere. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of total material creation, and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. Purport in this verse, the particular word Brahma is very significant. Brahman refers to one who not only is the greatest, but has the potency to expand to an unlimited extent. How was it possible for Dhruva Maharaj to capture Brahman within his heart? This question has been very nicely answered by Jiva Goswami. He says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of Brahman, since he comprises everything material and spiritual, there cannot be anything greater than he. In the Bhagavad Gita, also the Supreme Godhead says, I am the resting place of Brahman. Many persons, especially the Mayavadi philosophers, consider Brahman the biggest, all-expanding substance. According to this verse and other Vedic literature, such as the Gita, Bhagavad Gita, the resting place of Brahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the resting place of the sunshine is the sun globe. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Krishna says, I am the basis of the ultimate Brahman. It's his effulgence. Just as the resting place of the sunshine is the sun. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore says that since the transcendental form of the Lord is the seed of all greatness, he is the supreme Brahman. Since the supreme Brahman was situated in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, he became heavier than the heaviest and therefore trembled. Everything trembled in the three worlds and in the spiritual world. So by his meditation, he captured God in his heart and he became heavier than the heaviest. And his presence had an incredible influence. Even things were shaking. The Mahat Tattva, or the sum total of the material creation, is to be understood to be the ultimate end of all universes, including all living entities therein. Brahman is the resort of the Mahat Tattva, which includes all material and spiritual entities. It is described in this connection that the Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, is the master of both Pradhan and Purusha. Pradhan means subtle matter such as ether. Purusha means the spiritual spark. The entities are entangled in that subtle material existence. They may also be described as para-prakriti and apara-prakriti, as stated in Gita. Krishna, being the controller of both the prakritis, is thus the master of Pradhan and Purusha. In the Vedic hymns, also the Supreme Brahman is described as anta-pravishta-shasta. This indicates that the Supreme Personality of God is controlling everything and entering into everything. The Brahma Samhita says, 2.5.35, further confirms this, Adantarasta Paramanu Sayantarastam. He has entered not only the universe, but even the atoms. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.42, Krishna says, Nishtabhyaham Midam Kritsnam. The Supreme Personality of God, it controls everything by entering into everything. By associating constantly with the Supreme Personality of God in his heart, Dhruva Maharaj naturally becomes equal to the greatest Brahman by his association and thus becomes the heaviest, and the entire universe trembles. In conclusion, a person who is always concentrating on the transcendental form of Krishna within his heart can very easily strike the whole world with wonder at his activities. This is the perfection of yoga performance as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.47, Yoginam Api Sarvesha. Of all yogis, the bhakti yogi who thinks of Krishna always within his heart and engages in his loving transcendental service is topmost. Ordinary yogis can exhibit wonderful material activities known as Ashtasiddhi, eight kinds of yogic perfection. But a pure devotee of the Lord can surpass these perfections by performing activities which make the whole world tremble. Anyway, this is about influence. I mean, it's just a phenomenal fact that Dhruva Maharaj, by his meditation, got great powers. and the world trembled by the level of his austerity. The world, nayam lokas tiyogyasya kutan prakurusatama, one should perform sacrifice in this world and the next, that the world is constructed to condition us or recondition us to service. And service begins with sacrifice, to give up for something greater. That's the basic foundation, the basic psychological inspiration. So the world encourages sacrifice, and it reciprocates even with material rewards, even with power. For one who makes sacrifice, one gets powerful. And the greatest sacrifice is to surrender yourself fully, because that's transcending the ego, not just the mind and the intelligence, the ego. It's transcending the false conception that I am the controller and the enjoyer. So when one surrenders to God, he becomes empowered. Krishna Shakti Dina Nada Parthana. Without that Krishna Shakti, one can't be empowered to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada had so much Shakti, so much potency. Because he had 100% faith in the order of his spiritual master, which means he surrendered to that fully. He made that sacrifice of one's own whim and desire. That I will surrender to God. I will surrender to Guru and Krishna. And one who does that gets so much influence. And this is the basic principle of sharing Krishna consciousness. You have to be empowered to do so. You can't do it by material means. It's so limited. No matter how intelligent, how good a manager you are, how many things you can do, without being empowered by God, you will be limited to your own power. When you surrender to God, you have unlimited possibilities. Even this film, it's remarkable, two dedicated devotees surrendered to Prabhupada, what they're able to accomplish just by that desire alone. Okay, I'm going to just ask for any questions.
That was a wonderful class, Maharaj.
Thank you, Henry.
Hare Krishna. Oh.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Henry. And I saw the film again. It's really great up here, you know. Probably go today. Dale, you had a question?
It's playing in Washington. It's playing in Washington, and I've seen it two more times, so I've seen it four times altogether, and it does keep getting better.
It's kind of a spiritual practice. And, of course, I brought someone that I met from India. I met someone in India, and she met me down here with some devotees, and she has a big family estate for over 80 years, which she uses for spiritual function. And it was just great, you know, to take people there. Okay. Good. Gail, you had a question?
Yeah, I had a couple things. One is, what was Lord Chaitanya's other favorite story? Was it Prahlad?
Prahlad, yes.
Okay. The other question was, you know, the fact that Dhruva had captured Brahman, in his heart. Since, you know, you can't separate the sunshine from the sun, that means that he had actually captured, you know, the original form of Krishna in his heart as well, isn't it?
Well, that's what's in our heart, is Krishna's form. There's not like a separate Brahman, separate Paramatma. That we discussed that. There's there's one truth manifest. It depends. It's just your perception of it depends on what you call it. In what sense?
So I was wondering why that particular word was used in this context, you know.
Because Brahman is a generic term for God that means the greatest. So it gave that sense of power.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello today? I think you press *6 to unmute your phone or something, but anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Wonderful service, wonderful class.
Who is this?
Gordon.
Gordon. Wow. Any chance you come up to the Bhakti Immersion, maybe one of the evenings or something, so we can see you?
I will be there. I took the time. I talked to my sergeant. I will be there. I'll be there for Saturday's kirtan.
Okay, great, great. Okay, come early for Madan's class if you can, too. Okay. Anybody else like to say? Yeah. Who is this?
It's Val.
Oh, Val, thanks for listening. Great.
Yes, thanks for including me, and I hope to come on Saturday as well to the immersion.
Oh, great, great. You know, that's in August. That's in August.
Yep.
I gave you the cards. Great,
yep.
You're driving to the Vaughan Center. Do you have any questions, Val?
Oh, no, it was a beautiful, beautiful first session, so thank you for including me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, we'll try to join us on Sunday on Sundays if possible. Thank you.
I look forward
to
it.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Gumaraj, this is Kishori.
And Priya.
Priya, great. This is a very inspiring story of someone very young who became very determined. That's great. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? I'm going now. Lunch a couple of Jupiter.